Thanks, Marion. I interpret the WTO rules in such a way that the DG is bound by the same obligations as the members, which at that time of the day has one name, which is brevity. As offered by Marion this morning, I will give the text of my full remark to the Secretariat, and I'm sure the Secretariat will take all my full remarks in the record of the meeting, and I'll just limit my contribution this afternoon to a few remarks, which have to do with the impressions that I take away from this fourth review. Which are about engagement, partnership, results, which is the three things I think we have to look at in trying to look at the way forward. Starting with engagement, I think this initiative has clearly resulted in a much broader engagement on Aid for Trade since it was launched. We got a mandate in 2005. This mandate was given to me at the time, which is probably why both myself and Valentin Nogueira have been the public faces of Aid for Trade since 2005. But the reality is that the work, whether it's on planning, whether it's on implementation, has been done by many, many, many others. And that was not granted at the beginning. It worked in engaging various and an increasing number of international organizations. It worked in increasing growing number of development partners, whether on the funding side or on the funded side. It worked in engaging more and more local, national, regional actors. And as we've seen this time, probably a bit later than I would have wished at the beginning, we've seen a lot of engagement by the private sector with policy makers. So in many ways, this is, I think, one of the explanations why it has worked. And the way it has worked is basically with partnerships. That's probably the word I've heard the most during 2.5 days since Monday morning. All these broadening engagements have taken the shape of partnerships between us and UN institutions, Bretton Woods institutions, regional development banks, who have brought, I must say, a huge effort and have helped us a lot, sort of bridging this a bit of a dotted line sometimes between what we do at global level and what is done at national and local level. Partnerships between, again, local stakeholders and regional stakeholders. Look at the influence of regional economic commissions in Africa, in Latin America, even in areas like the Mekong Delta, which are sub-regional integrations in Asia, have taken in Aid for Trade. And I think it has also helped a lot, sort of reinvigorating major partnership for the WTO, such as the Enhanced Integrated Framework or the International Trade Center. One of the reasons why, and I take these two examples because they are sort of part of the WTO family, one of the reasons why they've expanded their activity, where they've gained visibility, is because the sort of Aid for Trade narrative has injected energy in these organizations, have given them support, visibility, and hence attracted more partners because they themselves are partnerships. The third lesson I got from this review has a lot to do with convergence. We knew for some years already that 8-foot trade was helping a number of actors converging on challenges, and I don't repeat the main challenge which 8-foot trade was built to address, which is this problem of capacity. To supply, capacity to produce, capacity to organize. What we've heard during this 2.5 days, and I must say, not that it was a surprise, but it was loud and clear, is that what we've discovered is that there is enormous convergence also in opportunities. And this is where the global supply chain, national, regional, continental supply chain comes in, that this new connectivity, in fact, is increasing the potential for cooperation on opportunities. Just mention one word which has been going through many of these 50 plus workshops and sessions, which is services. And I think looking at the challenge of connectivity through the lens of value chains makes in many ways 8-foot trade more, not less relevant, and it's, I think, an excellent way of blurring more and more, to the point that it will probably disappear one day, this frontier we had between trade and aid. I know many frontiers are blurring in our planet, but that's one which I've seen blurring during this year's, and I think it's a great thing, because it also allows various strands which were not there before to be connecting with each other. And this this notion of convergence, I also felt through a variety of sessions, whether sort of geographical session, you know, on Latin America, on Africa, on Asia, but that's a big echo to what I see on the ground, where in for the last 2, 3, 4 years, I've often heard what we are doing to mainstream trade and development is an echo to what we get from Geneva on 8-foot trade. It has provided us with perspectives. It has provided us with a narrative. It has provided us with examples. And I think this convergence between what we have in mind in this distant Geneva caucus and what people who need to develop, reduce poverty, and use trade for that on the ground, that's, I think, one of the big things which I take from these 2.5 days. The big question we've always had from the beginning is results. And I think it's a question we have to live with. We've lived with it. We are living with this. I think we will live with that, because at the end of the day, we need to be able to measure whether it really makes a difference. I said from day one, I think it made a difference, honestly. What I've heard, I think, confirms this view. Whether, we have to look at the sort of counterfactual. After all, what would have happened without this initiative and without the amount of energy which many of you have put in it? We probably wouldn't have the numbers we have on resources. We probably would be less advanced on issues like mainstreaming. Maybe the African Union action plan to boost intra-regional trade would have appeared, or an 8-foot trade Caribbean strategy for the region. Maybe, but I believe what we did on 8-foot trade made this initiative, these ideas, come more quickly to reality. Same, by the way, for the involvement of the private sector, which I think is one of the highlights of what we heard this time, as I said already, probably more than in previous time. So, in many ways, what we've done, we've operationalized this concept of aid for trade, and overall achieved much more than what we expected when we launched the initiative in 2005. And to be convinced about this, you just have to look back at what were the terms of reference and the recommendations of the Aid for Trade Task Force, which were made to the General Council in 2006. If you look at that document, then you have the sort of basis from where we started, and it's a good way of measuring where we've gone. So, enough on the past, a few words on what next. I think my own suggestion would be sustain the progress made with sort of two main targets in mind, which again I got from these 2.5 days, bringing costs of trade down and adding value to developing country trade. So it's a reasonably simple equation. We have to keep working on the minus, and we have to keep working on the plus. On sustaining progress, I think what we've heard from this last discussion by the members is a clear indication that there is something to be done in Bali. At least that's what a large number of you have requested. In order to reaffirm the Aid for Trade mandate in a sort of modernized way after these 8 years for the future. And I think this is one of the clear signals that this fourth Aid for Trade Global Review has given. On the issue of bringing trade costs down, we have heard about many of the issues which can be properly addressed through WTO action, whether it's trade facilitation, whether it's trade finance, whether it's about standard setting and compliance, although our own remit is limited to principles that govern standards, but not the standards themselves. Whether it's skills, which I think is a sort of newcomer in the perimeter of Aid for Trade, and I listened very carefully to what Guy Ryder from the ILO said during the session we had together, where he basically made the point that if this about investment, investment in people is a crucial issue when you look at the material which was collected for your attention before the Aid for Trade review. On adding value, I think there still is more to be done, because where you add value is sometimes a bit counterintuitive. Where exactly is your comparative advantage? How can you leverage it? Again, is it hard infrastructure? Is it soft infrastructure? Is it governance systems? Is it business environment? I think each country has a specific situation in this field, but I also believe that proper and maybe more detailed analytical tools would help a country making this diagnosis before they embark on a capacity building program. So I think looking again at the future, we've found with Aid for Trade a way to not only complement the market access business of WTO, we've found a way to make it work better. It's not something else than what we usually do in establishing, enforcing the rules of world trade in the direction of opening. It's also a tool that allows this to change a reality in the line which we always use in our dinner speeches, which is that trade opening is good for development and poverty reduction. So in many ways, you know, it's about moving from the doctrine to the reality. I think, again, this is very much your achievement. What started in many ways as a sort of a top-down initiative has truly become a bottom-up and result-oriented program. Many of you have said, and I agree with that, that Aid for Trade has now become truly a part of the global trade and development architectures. And because of that, and because of what I heard not only Monday, Tuesday, but also this morning, I'm confident that you will keep moving in this direction, political will being a crucial ingredient. Finally, like many others, I have a few thanks. Again, starting with you all, members, observers, other partners which have joined us, including in other international organizations, in civil society, in business. Of course, the team that prepared this review, and there are a few of that on this podium, but there are many others elsewhere who've been working hard on the logistics, on the preparations. I think we've also had an extremely successful performance in making sure the weather was right, and I think this is to the credit of Arantxa Gonzalez. As I said many times in previous Aid for Trade review, and I know Valentin did not like this in the second Aid for Trade review, in the third Aid for Trade review, so I'm sorry, Valentin, it's the last one, so it's the last global Aid for Trade review. Well, you will hear me saying that a lot of the credit that was given to me during these few days, I would say two-thirds of that has to go to you, which is the proportion I have in mind, which is clearly the largest part of the credit, but also to the Aid for Trade team. Most of the core team is on this podium. Shishir, Michael, Debbie, Aimé, and also the rest of my office, including Mathieu, who's been as energetic as usual. So it's a cooperation, it's a collaboration, but this is also true in the Secretariat. And again, thank you, the members, for your commitment. At the end of the day, Aid for Trade is an investment in people, in systems, in governance, in partnership. WTO is, by the will of the members, a member-driven organization, but I think Aid for Trade has become a sort of partner-driven initiative. This, I believe, is our main achievement, and I'm sure that in the future, Aid for Trade will keep helping to update, sustain, dynamize, energize the organization as a whole. Thanks for your attention and thanks for your support.